I preached a message this past Wednesday night, and we looked at the subject there in 1 Thessalonians and chapter number 4, really at the end of chapter number 4, going into chapter number 5. And the Bible talks a lot in there about the Lord coming back. And we know this as a afternoon crowd, as kind of, we don't usually have a lot of visitors on Sunday evenings, and so we get kind of to the nitty-gritty, and we begin to dig into the Word of God a little deeper. And so I would say in a group of people like this, you and I, we understand that the Lord is coming back. We know the trumpet's going to sound. We know that God himself, he's going to descend. We're going to see our Savior in the sky. But as the Lord comes back, we don't know when that is going to be. No one does. In fact, there has been, over the years, those men who have stood up to say, well, we know the Lord's coming back. And for some of you, remember, I think it was something like 88 reasons in 88 or something like that. Pastor Foe, they had it. And then we know in 2012, there were big reasons that God was going to come back. In fact, even when I was pastoring there in the South, they had billboards up that God was coming back this year. And to be honest, it was a real embarrassment. And it really hurts the cause of Christ when people stand up and begin to say, hey, we know when God is coming back. No man knoweth the hour. We know the time is getting closer. We understand from God's word there are things that you and I can look for. And we're watching, and that season is upon us. But even in Paul's day, they believed that Christ was going to come back. They themselves were looking for that blessed hope. So my question to us this afternoon is this. Think about this. How do we live a life that's looking for that blessed hope, but also live a life that's here on this earth? How do we live a life that's ready to go, but also ready to stay? You see, for a long time, religion will put in or on Christianity that you can almost feel bad if you're not in that constant state of looking. You can almost make somebody feel bad with the religious chains of, look, if you're not looking to heaven, looking to heaven, looking to heaven, looking to heaven, well, then you're just not right with God. Okay, I understand. We're supposed to be looking for the blessed hope. To be honest with you, even at 38 years old, like, I'm super excited for God to come back. But yet then again, I comprehend that God has a task for me and my family here on this earth. And so my question would be, okay, God, if we're looking for the blessed hope, and if we're ready to go, we're ready to hear the trumpet sound, we're ready to go, but then you want us to live on this earth, and there's so many verses that back this up, that we're to be fulfilling the Great Commission, and we're to be living with grace and joy and mercy and peace and all these things, and we're to be letting our light shine. So there's tons of verses that back up that we are to be living a life down here. So can we have both? Can we be looking for a blessed hope and yet continue to live a life here on this earth? The answer to that question is yes, we can. God desires for you and I to be looking for that blessed hope, to be excited about hearing the trumpet sound, but we're not sitting back and it's us four no more, and we're scared of the world, and we're scared of everything, and we fear this, and we don't want to be in the world at all, so we almost live, and I'm not making fun of their way of living, but almost like the Amish would in several areas of Indiana, that we just have our family and no more in our little farm. We just do our old things, but that's not what God has commissioned you and I to do. We still have to live a life that is involved in the world in which we live in. And I'm going to put it this way. Now, watch. I know we have our young people in here, so listen, young people, and watch teenagers. I want you to comprehend this. You can live a life excited about the Lord's return, but still live a life on earth that is fun and exciting and incredible and wonderful and a life that is full of Jesus. How many believe that? Would you say amen? We can do that, but how do we do that? How do we have that balance? Well, first of all, in this charge I want to give us this afternoon, first of all, if you're taking notes, and this won't be up on the screen, I just got a welcome screen on, but I want you to write this down or think about it. How we do this is, first of all, keep dedicated to God. We keep dedicated to God. We're looking for that blessed hope. We're looking for that glorious appearing of our God and our great Savior, Jesus Christ. Okay, we're looking for that. We're excited about it, but we also have a life to live down here. So how do we do that? Well, here's how we do it. Number one, keep dedicated to God. Romans chapter 14 and verse number 8 says this, for whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. You see, many fail to yield completely to God's will, whether it be selfish motives or pursuits that cause them to withdraw their surrender. And so we have to comprehend that we have to have dedicated lives to God. We, you and me, have to have lives that put God first. That's why the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse number 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, don't tune out, listen, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your, check it out, reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, dedication is living a surrendered life to Him on this earth. We're looking for God to come back. And how many are excited about that? Say amen. Okay, but we're going to live here on this earth. So how do we live a life that's full of joy and God? Well, here is how we do it. You and I are going to live a life that is dedicated to Him. We give our lives to Him wholly. We say this, okay, God, I am yours. Whatever you want me to do with my life, that's what I'm going to do. Now, again, I know we got young people scattered throughout this whole auditorium. So this is not for teenagers, but since we got them in here, teenager, let me say this. A life that is surrendered to God is the happiest life you can live here on this earth. It does not mean, hold on. It doesn't mean that life is rainbows and butterflies and it's great and it's good and never any problems. So we go through some tough times, without a doubt. We have valleys. It's called what the Bible says, the ebb and flow of life. There's mountaintops, there's valleys, there's tough times that you and I go through. But when you and I say this, okay, God, I'm going to live my life wholly dedicated to you, it is a life that is lived in Jesus. And I'm going to put it this way. When you let Jesus dream for you, friend, He will turn your life so upside down and for the better. You just can't even imagine life when God has the steering wheel, when you and I just step aside, when we give our life to Him, friend, it is the most incredible life that we can live here on this earth. Now, hold on. Here's the naysayer. Well, what about the missionaries out there and those that get beheaded and those that go through this and those that go through hard times and those that... Friend, I'm not putting aside that life is tough. Cancer's not going away. Persecution is here to stay, and it's going to get worse. There's going to be tough times. But if you and I only find our joy in not having cancer or find our joy in not having persecution, then when those things come, we're going to live miserable lives. But we need to comprehend that when we dedicate our lives to Him, He is always with us. He never forsakes us. He's always going to be a God that is going to get us through the storms and through the mountaintop experiences and the valleys. Friend, that's a life that is worth living here on this earth. It's first of all, a dedicated life. But secondly, keep dependent on God. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 6 says this, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. You see, some leave God out of their plans. They depend entirely upon themselves or their education or perhaps their family tree. And to be honest, there are many that are delusional and they fail. We must trust the Lord in everything. As we depend on Him, He gives us guidance and causes us to keep on keeping on. Dependence upon God takes a lot of stress and it takes a lot of pressure off of our lives. So, Brother Titus, you and your wife have lived. You've been married now for several decades. You have kids. You have grandkids. Okay, there's no doubt in your life that you would say you are looking for that blessed hope. Am I right, Mrs. Titus? You'd say you're excited about the Lord coming back at this stage of your life. Am I true to say that? Okay, that's different than perhaps a Corbin and Kennedy that sit up two rows in front of you. That's different than them who have their entire lives in front of them. They're not, I would say today, I don't know this, but I'd say Corbin's not like clicking her heels like, yeah, I can't wait for God to come back. And it's just different, okay? There's two different stages of life. Okay, so Brother Titus, Mrs. Titus, how are we going to live a life that is happy and joyful down here? Well, Corbin, Kenny, here's what they say. And every other teenager, young person in here, Emma and all these up front, here's what the Tituses would teach us. Live a life that is dependent upon God. You want joy down here, Gavin? Live a life that's dependent on God down here. You want a life that is truly not stressful and not back and forth? Okay, hold on. I get in this tone, and I'm trying to get us out of here at a good time, and it's not working out. So, I mean, I'm going to get you out of a good time, but I'm moving too fast. So, let me put this down in second gear here for a second. Do you know why in 2022 we see Christians absolutely scared to death of coronavirus? No, I'm not saying. We've had deaths in our own church from coronavirus. I'm not up here, it's a scam, there's no such thing. It's real, okay? It's out there. It's not, do vax if you want, don't do vax. I don't care, but listen to this. Do you know why in this day we are scared to death of it? I'm talking about churches that hear about Omicron or whatever it's called, and all of a sudden, boom, we haven't even had one case, not one case in Indiana, and we had churches in Indianapolis that they shut their door. So why? What's going on? What's happening? We're seeing people that are dependent upon their health. We're seeing people dependent upon CDC. We're seeing people dependent upon everything else to lead them and guide them through this life. And when that goes to shambles and we don't know what's up, what's down, what's right, what's not, all of a sudden what you and I begin to see is this. We begin to see, man, where we live in this absolute fear and this absolute, what's going on? Our life is not dependent upon CDC, and our life is not dependent upon what this person or that person. Again, trust your doctor without a doubt. Yes, do your thing. But I'm here to tell you this. I don't want to live for the rest of my life worried about a cold or a flu or a cancer. I don't have cancer right now. But, you know, I can be dependent upon all my happiness being on that I'm not going to get it. No. My dependency is on Jesus Christ. My life is in His hands. He is the great physician. One day, if He doesn't come back, I guarantee you, I'm not allowed to bet, but never mind. Anyways, guess what? We're all going to die one day. Some of you got that. So we're all going to die one day. Like, it's coming. Mine could be sooner than yours. It might not be. My dependency is on God. I trust Him. When we start putting our dependency on our 401k, let me tell you something, friend, that's a miserable place to live. My dependency is based on what everybody else has, what everybody else is driving, and what, Adam, you drove up today, and I absolutely love your car. There's several other guys here that drive up, and you make me sick, guys. I'm just telling you, your big old trucks. I don't even park beside Dirk. I'll just be honest with you. His truck is too big. My minivan's too little, so I park somewhere else. Sorry about that, Dirk, but I'm going to tell you something. My dependency is not on based on comparing my life or what I drive on everybody else's. We have to be dependent upon God. We have to be dependent. If you and I are just going to stop, Pastor, I'm just going to tell you, I'm going to start tithing again when so-and-so's in the White House. Friend, our dependency is not upon who's in the White House. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and He created the hills that they're on. It's all in His hand. How do we live a life looking for hope? We're excited to go, but we want to live life down here that's happy and great and wonderful. We want to live a life that's for God. How do we do it? We live a life that is dependent upon Him. And when you and I are dependent upon Him, it takes the stress and the pressure off of trying to succeed or be something in everyone else's eyes. Number two, keep dependent on God. Number three, I want you to write this down. Keep delighted in Him. Be delighted in Him. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. There's many who live a miserable life. I'm talking about Christians on this earth. And I often want to ask, why? What is wrong? Like, why? What makes a Christian so miserable on this earth? Well, what is it in their life that you would say, why are you so pessimistic? Why is everything wrong? Have you ever known somebody like that? Don't point at them. But have you ever known somebody that's the life they live? Nothing ever goes right. They're never happy. They never smile. They're miserable. To be honest, I don't even like hanging around people like that. Like, you make everybody else miserable. I'm not talking about people in here. I'm just saying in general, okay? Fill in the blank for who you want to. But there are people out there, life, it's just always miserable. I'll tell you why. Because they're finding their delight in something that is not satisfying. The things this earth will never satisfy you and I. I can sit here and say, I guess my delight will be when I have a car like Adam, or when I have a truck like Dirk. I'm just picking on these guys. But if when I have that, then I'm going to be happy. That's not going to last very long. Those things rust out. They put a ton of salt on these roads. Like, eventually, it's just, my delight is going to be based upon something that is circumstantial. Life, oftentimes, our delight is found in someone. If my wife is being happy to me, well, then I'm living a joyful life. If my husband is being happy, if my friends treat me right, if I'm the most popular. And we put our delight in something that's circumstantial. Vacations come and go. Cars come and go. Electronics come and go. People come and go. Relationships come and go. But God does not change. He will always be there. And so when you and I put our faith and trust and dependence, but watch, when we delight in Him, we're able to live a life down here that's wonderful. It's lifeful. You know why? Because God's word doesn't change. When it's based on a relationship, man, our relationship's up and down. I don't care how long you've been married, whether it's 4 months like Abby and Bryce, or whether it's 40 years or 40 plus years, I would say, in the Titus family. Y'all been married for more than 40 years, is that correct? How many? 54. I mean, look, over a half a century. It does not matter. If it's based on just each other, but when we delight ourselves in God, in His word. Watch now. That is a delight that's just, there's nothing that compares to it. Do you know what we ought to delight in? Now, I'm not saying this just because I'm the pastor and we're having an afternoon service. We ought to really delight in being in church. Like, we ought to love. There's people who watch live stream. They can't be here. They would love to be here. They would. We ought to delight coming in. Church ought to never be to our kids. It's a chore. Hurry up. Get dressed. Get in the car. Get in. Smile. I said smile. No. Hey, look, they're going to get 18 and be like, I don't ever want to go to church again. But you know what happens in church is we get to meet with God. Like, He's in this place. No, hold on. Don't get all spooky and weird on me. Do you understand that we pray the Holy Spirit will have free reign? That's God having free reign in here. Yeah. Now, if that doesn't put a smile on your face meeting with God, you might not be saved. If God doesn't satisfy, then what will? If we have a relationship with Him, we get to be in church. And we get to meet with God. We get to Blessed Assurance. I don't know if you, that's one of my favorite hymns, but man, I love singing that hymn, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. We get to meet with Him. But you know what we ought to delight in also is fellowshipping with each other. Now, look, not everybody gets along. I'm not saying we all have to root for the same teams and we all have to have the same hairdos and we got to all, look, I mean, we're all different backgrounds, different people, but I'm telling you this. Who we ought to, oh, there you are, Dirk. I was looking for you back there. You're up here. What we ought to delight in is being around each other. They get to come in and everybody's drinking different drinks. I see some from Culver's and I see some from Five Guys. And I see, so we all get to come in. We're all different tastes. We all different restaurants, different backgrounds, different races. But you know what we have in common? Jesus Christ. And we ought to rejoice in fellowshipping and talking with each other. I love talking to our family here at Cross Point Baptist. I love it. Sunday nights, I feel bad for the guys locking up because some of them are like, especially the Hughes family, y'all live like 30 minutes away or something. And I always feel bad because the Hughes are locking up. But I'm telling you, people are just fellowshipping all over this building. What's that? What's our common denominator? Fellowship in Jesus Christ. Get to come. We get to feast together. We get to laugh together. We get to cry together. And we do. We go through some really good times together. And then there are other times. Man, we've lost some people this year. The Yiders lost somebody, and Mrs. Stock, and we miss Jeremy. And those difficult moments is when we're very appreciative that we get to delight ourselves in God, knowing that He ultimately is in control. Would you write this down, number four? Keep diligent for Him. Keep diligent for our Savior. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 14 says, for the love of God, listen to the wording here, constraineth us. Many are vitally concerned about pleasing themselves, but they're lazy and careless about spiritual pursuits. We must be diligent about working for our Savior. Living and looking, watch now, is living for others. When Christ was here on this earth, ultimately said, we believe in God. Yes. Do you believe he died? He was buried, rose again. Yes, absolutely. My faith is in him. Good. Okay, so we're supposed to model our lives after him. Absolutely. How did Christ live his life? He lived his life for others. And that's us. That ought to be our desire. Diligent for our Savior. Now watch this. Now don't shut your Bibles. I want you to watch this. Some of you are yawning. Now come on. I've been in here 24 minutes. Give me a break. Don't yawn just yet. You'll get your afternoon nap here in just a moment. Now watch. Being diligent for God is this. Knowing that he's going to come back. But church, let me just, as your pastors, we talked about this morning. Let me just encourage us for a moment. A life that is lived in Christ does not have to be a miserable life. Looking for that blessed hope, Brother Matt, you know this, y'all are missionaries. Look at that blessed hope is not, we're so miserable on this earth. Oh, here we go, let's hurry. Let's go. Where's God coming back? No, we don't have to live miserable lives down here. We can live happy, wonderful lives. Look, politics is a mess, I get it. But our trust is not in the president or the Democrats or the Republicans or who has the majority or the supermajority. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. Our life, I get it, weather plays with us, and we all like sun. If you don't like sun, you're weird, but I think we like sun, but we have four seasons here, and you know, our dependency is not whether it's cold or hot. Well, of course, you know, there's seasonal things that will affect our hormones. That's proven. But nonetheless, our hope is not in how much snow we get or don't get or how cold it is. No, our hope is in Jesus Christ. Here's what I want to encourage us as a church. Here's my charge. You ready for this? We're looking, but we're not going to stop living. The teenagers across this room, I know, Ben, and look at Blake and Cole and so many others. Guys, I want you to realize there might be some bad examples out there somewhere that make the Christian life look miserable, but gentlemen, I want to tell you, and young ladies, I want to tell you, Miguel and get the guys in here, all the way around Parker, little kids up here, Poppy and the twins and Mimi. Now watch very carefully. You do realize, Ty, that you can live a life in Jesus on this earth, Genevieve, that is really wonderful and happy. Some of you smile. This would be a good time to smile. Some of you, I have to go to the bathroom. Okay, we're almost done, but we can live a life in him that's great and exuberant and wonderful. Let me tell you something, young people. The life that God has given me, I feel like I'm so blessed. Five incredible kids. Just my wife is my best friend, and she is everything to this man. To pastor in Indianapolis at this time with these people, with the staff and the teachers we have, I could cry talking about, I don't know why God is so good to me. He's so good to me. But you know what that takes to get to this point? Yeah, $1 million. No. Yeah, climbing the corporate ladder. No, you're missing it. Well, it's going to the right school. No, hold on. It's, yes, looking and ready, but it's not stop living down here. And I want to live every moment to the fullest for my Savior. Because he is incredible. And he is coming. And friend, let me tell you, we can live a life that we're ready to go. God, if you want to come right now, come on, bring it on, let's get out of here. Or let's say he waits another 10 or 12 years. Then let's live every moment happy and dependent on our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.